asked Andrew if he wanted to give a greeting or anything, and he said no. So you have to go to Andrew to say hello to Andy afterwards. We're glad to see him back, as already has been mentioned, as well as Kevin Kneziewicz and also others who have returned. So we just give thanks for that. Tonight, I want us to look in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. But before we do that, I first of all want to give a report on our visit at the Mercy Hospital. It was a real struggle for me because I made at least six phone calls to get a connection there, and they kept giving me to someone else. And then finally, the final decision was that the man who is in charge is in Arizona on vacation, so I just went by that we could go to the fifth floor. Thankful for Jonathan and Amy. They came in late. It was good to be late for this time. And they went to the eighth floor and asked if we were there, and we were not. But they said, oh, we hope that you'll come to the eighth floor as well. So we went to more floors than what they asked us to in the beginning, and I trust that the nurses who asked us to come will not be in trouble. In fact, in the one floor, when we came there, we went to the nurse's station, and they banded it together there and said, no, we've had a very bad night with all these patients. We don't want you to sing now. So I said to them, well, anyways, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and we have a card for you and also for a candy bar for each. So they took that, and as Ruth Solem and and Joy were passing out the cards and the candy, they had a change of heart and a change of mind. So as we got about three quarters around on that particular floor, the head nurse came to Joy and said, are we ever glad we changed our mind? Not only has it been cheerful for us, but also for the patients, and it's made it a lot easier tonight. So thanks for coming. So she was very happy about it. Well, I just want to say again that I was in one of the rooms, and an individual spoke up and said, I know who you are. You preached at the funeral. And I said, I have preached at funerals. Which one were you at? And so happened to be Roy Brothers' Roy Brothers' wife, Catherine, where I preached. And she remembered me, and so I had a little conversation with her again about eternity. But the exciting thing for me, again, it is all of the Lord. That's all I can say. It's totally of the Lord, is those pencils. And that white pencil has turned out just remarkably well. You know that we got the four pencils. The gold one is the pencil that says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Now that's the pencil that I normally give to the patient that's in the bed, you know. And then we have the silver one that says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then the yellow one says, but God demonstrates his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But the white one says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it's the white one that gets them. It is so choice. I gave that white pencil and over 13 times and when we were out to the Mercy Hospital, there were comments on that white pencil. A few times, someone remarked by saying, are you trying to say that I'm a sinner? Oh, no, I'm not trying to say it, I said. I am saying it because that's what God's Word says. You are a sinner. And that's why Christ came into the world. It just gives you such a great opportunity as you share the gospel there in the room over the fact, are you trying to say that I'm a sinner? Well, I gave it in one room where there was an elderly woman in bed, and her daughter and husband were there visiting. And after I gave the gold pencil to her, I gave the white pencil to the man. And she said, that's good. He is a sinner, and he needs that pencil. I said, hold it. Wait a minute, dear. I said, you are a sinner just as much as he is. And he said, you tell her. She is a sinner too, you know. So it gave me an opportunity again in that room. Well, I went to the room where there was another group. There must have been about six or eight that were in this room. And after I gave the gold pencil away, I gave the white pencil to this particular man. And he said, after I quoted the verse, he said, everybody knows that I'm a sinner, so you gave this to the right person. Well, I said, you know, sir, the very fact that you know that you're a sinner, that gives you great chances to get to heaven. I said, you know, there's many people who will not admit that they're a sinner. But the very fact that you're willing to admit that you're a sinner, you're on your way. But now you need to ask Christ to save you from your sins. I said, you know, that's what he came into the world for. So I had quite a little conversation in that room. Then I went into the waiting room, and there was about 12 or 14 people that were sitting in the room. I started out with the gold pencil, and then I gave the white pencil. And as soon as I gave that white pencil and quoted the verse, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, they all began to laugh at this guy that got the pencil. And I said, now wait a minute. Everybody in this room is a sinner. We're born in sin. Nobody had to teach us how to sin. But that's what Christ came into this world for, is to die for us sinners. So then I gave the other two pencils out. And I said, you know, I'm sorry. I only got four different pencils. And so a voice from the other side of the room spoke up and said, we're going for round two, and you're going to get the sinner's pencil. It was so beautiful because of that. Right away, they're preaching the message. I hardly have to say anything, you know, because the fact they have taken that pencil and used it now in both hospitals as the sinner's pencil, and all it says is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We just got to pray that the Lord will use the written word of what's inside the Christmas cards and so forth, and the word spoken, and I'm thankful for the time that we had there. And again, I want to say it's a corporate thing, and how thankful I am because of the group that was singing. We had a good turnout that came to the Mercy, and as well as to the OLV, and it worked out very well. Well, now for our portion of Scripture tonight, I want to turn to the New Testament. But between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's how many years of space? 400. Those 400 years are known as the years of silence. That's right. Now, the silence was broken by what words? What words was the silence finally broken after 400 years of silence? How was it broken? With what words? Fear not. Thank you. That first time that the words fear not was given to break the silence was said to who? To who? Zechariah, right. To an old man, okay? We find that Zechariah was the first one to hear those words, fear not. And then 6 months later, the silence was broken again with the same words, fear not, but this time to who? To Mary, right. To Mary, this young woman. Now the silence was broken for the third time, and it was fear not again, and it was said to Joseph, right. And for the fourth time, it was broken, it was said to the shepherds, good. So first of all, you find that the fear not comes to the old, then it comes to the young, then it comes to the troubled, and then it comes to the poor. You know, it doesn't make any difference who you are, whether you're young, old, poor, or troubled. You see, the words are, fear not. That's a tremendous expression that we find out throughout the Word of God is, fear not. Now, I want us to just read from the Gospel of Luke, if we will, for a moment, starting in verse chapter 1 and verse 26. Chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, oftentimes we have talked about that verse, that she was blessed among women, not above, but among. And that's a key word there, that word among. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's a very interesting portion there. We're not going to do that tonight. But it's just to look at the word shall, S-H-A-L-L, as it's mentioned so many times to Mary there, and it takes it right through the life of Christ. But we have spoken on that before. And he then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now it's very interesting to notice that Mary is the very first person who questions the virgin birth. She's the first one to question it. And the virgin birth has been questioned down through the years. People have constantly mocked it and questioned it, how it possibly could be, but Mary is the first one to do that. And millions have argued and denied the fact that anything like this could happen. So we notice she's the first to question it, and we notice also that there is the group that talk about the Immaculate Conception. Now, what does that mean, the Immaculate Conception?
Well, the Catholic Church is referring to her, the conception of Mary, that Mary was immaculately conceived without sin, set apart. That's what the Catholic Church...
Right, and so what are they teaching in that Immaculate Conception? Just go a little further. That when did that take place? Well, that's not my understanding of how they thought that. My understanding is that the Immaculate Conception, and as I looked that up, the word in the dictionary as well, that they believe that the Immaculate Conception means that a tremendous grace of God came over her, and the original sin was wiped out when she accepted to be the virgin. And so then that's when the, that's what I think the, are you shaking your head yes to that, Rosie? Yeah. At that time is when they say that she became sinless. Well, we know that Mary was not sinless. And that's an important thing, is to understand the Immaculate Conception. Now, that became a very big issue, in the early 50s, as many of you here are old enough to remember, and I remember the problem we had here even in the town of Blaisdell, because the question came up, if that's true, then what happened to her? So then, what did they come along with? What kind of a doctrine? What do they celebrate in August? The Assumption, right. Thank you, Rosie. Good. We got somebody that's with it. In August, That's what they celebrate, is that celebration of the Assumption. Now, what they're saying is, because they had to come up with some idea, if she was totally sinless, then she had to be assumed. So that doctrine came out in the early 50s, and they say that she was assumed up into heaven and she never died. Well, we know that that's not true either, but it's an important thing is to understand what they're saying. But they still celebrate that feast as it comes, the Feast of Assumption in August, I believe, on the 15th. Now, Mary answered, and this here we can read on. Let's read. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, it's a tremendous honor that was bestowed upon Mary to feel that she would be the mother of the Lord Jesus. But there was also a tremendous burden for her to bear. I think of that verse over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12 and 13 that says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the gate, camp, without the camp, bearing his reproach." And you know, it's not an easy thing for Mary, what she did, is to say, "Be it according to thy word." She would have had big problems. Yes, she would have had a lot of people who wouldn't have believed her and would have felt that she was unfaithful to the one that she was espoused to. Now, if we go, just keep your finger in Luke, and we'll go over here to Matthew chapter 1, and there, starting with verse 18, it says this: "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they were come together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." You can understand when she came back from her cousin Elizabeth that a great cloud of suspicion would have come upon Joseph. What did Joseph know? He could have thought that she was unfaithful, that he would be accused, but he had a great love for her. Now, back then, engagement was not done lightly. The only way you could break an engagement was through a divorce. It was just like being married. And he didn't want to have the disgrace of a public divorce. What he wanted to do was to have a quiet divorce because he loved her. But while he was trying to figure out how he was going to do this, that's when we find that he had that dream, and we find that he was told those words, "Fear not, and take her." Now, it's interesting to notice that what the angel did all, the angel revealed the sex, the angel revealed the name, and the angel revealed the mission of this child that was going to be born. I'll tell you, today they think they've done a lot when they can tell you the sex from a sonogram. But here, not only is the sex determined, but what he was going to do, and also the name that was going to be given. Now we know that his name was Jesus, which means, yes, Jehovah is salvation. That's what that total name of Jesus means. Now, let's turn just for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, reading that, we got three sections to the salvation that we have, okay? And to put it in alliteration using the letter P, in the first section we have what in 2 Corinthians 1:10? We are delivered from what? From what? Starting with a P. Pardon? Peril. Okay, that could be a word. That's not my word, but that's a good one, Nance. What's another word? Punishment. That's a good word. Or the penalty of sin? Good. Thank you. Those are good words. That's not what I chose. Okay? From the second one, in the second phrase, what are we delivered from? From the power of sin. Not only is he the Savior that will deliver us from the penalty of sin, but he's the Savior that will deliver us from the power of sin. But in the third phrase, we have the Savior that delivers from the presence of sin. Very good. Okay. So we have that verse split up into three parts. Now, it's a tremendous thing to notice, too, that his name was going to be called Emmanuel. And I think that that name probably is going to be God is with us. I can't be dogmatic on this, but I would think that that would be the name that would be prominent during the millennium when he reigns on this earth, because he will be with them. Emmanuel, God is with us. And so when he reigns for that 1,000 years or for that millennium, I think that's the name that will come out in prominence at that time. I think also, as we're back here in chapter 1 of Matthew and verse 25, I think it's a great thing to notice, especially for young people today that are single. It says that he took her to wife in the other part, but he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn. You know, today what we have a problem is that people have to have sex before marriage. That is so common today, it's just nothing but sinful, but we see that so prevalent today. But here was a very godly man. Joseph, even though he was married and could have had those rights, because that's the rights that you get when you do get married, he refrained from having sex with his wife until the child was born. Now, you know, we have again where there's some churches that preach that Mary stayed a virgin all of her life. But we know that that's not true from several verses. I could look at just one or two of them. Psalms, even in the Old Testament, it's given to us. Psalm 69, we can look there for just a minute. Psalm 69. And verse 7 and 8. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. You see, right back there in the Psalms, they knew that the one that was going to be the mother of their Messiah would also have other children. Now, we don't have time tonight, but you could look in John chapter 7, or you can look in Matthew chapter 12, or chapter 13, or Mark chapter 6. You can see those portions all bring out that Mary had other children. She did not remain as a virgin. Now, again, we know the story that what happened is that God worked in a mysterious way, because the Word of God said that the child was to be born in Bethlehem. Where does it tell us that in the Old Testament? Micah 5:2. Thank you. Okay. Now, they were living in Nazareth. Nazareth, between Nazareth and Bethlehem, is approximately 70 miles. Now, that's quite a trip. But when the law was given that everyone should go to the place of their taxation, I don't believe, okay, now, and this is my personal opinion on this, I don't believe that Mary had to go. Joseph had to go, being the head of the house. But I don't think that Mary had to go. But because of the fact that God was moving this whole thing, Mary went. Now, I could be wrong in that, but I think it was only when the taxation was given that the head of the home was the one that had to go. But Mary, we find, went as well. Now, another interesting thing that I noticed there that I've often thought about is that when the child was born, the child was swaddled or was put into swaddling clothes. The other day, I went over to see Lori's baby, my wife and I did, and Lori was trying to sleep, and Daryl was trying to change the diaper his first time. Well, he had the thing on backwards. These here diapers are different than what, you know, they were before. Well, he was struggling, and so Aunt Ruth came to the rescue and helped him out with putting on the diaper. But here we have swaddling clothes, which means what? Pardon? Yeah, what is it? What is swaddling clothes? Strips of cloth, bands of cloth, if you look that up, or strips of cloth. I don't know how long that stayed in history, that people swaddled them. But, you know, most people have enough time, trouble putting on one diaper, never mind strips of cloth, because maybe they didn't change them as often. I don't know. But they swaddled the baby at that time, as we find, as it was said. Okay. Now, you know, whenever a baby is born, it's the job of the father, you know, is to tell the good news. It's exciting to tell that the baby has come. Now, when the Lord Jesus, first of all, when we think of him as in this gospel here, he tabernacled amongst us. That means he dwelt amongst us. But when the tabernacle was finished in Exodus chapter 40, at the end of Exodus and verses 33 and 34, what happened in the tabernacle? All right, look it up. Exodus chapter 40, verses 33 and 34. What happened in the tabernacle? Yeah, the glory of God filled the place, right? The glory of God filled the place so that Moses or any of them couldn't even come near the place. Now, the tabernacle was the place where God was going to meet his people. So back in the Old Testament, when they erected the tabernacle and it was finished, The glory of God filled it. What happened in the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 in verse 13 and 14? What happened? Same thing. The glory of the Lord came. When the Lord Jesus Christ, now, no longer dwelling in the tabernacle to meet with his people, no longer meeting in the temple because the temple was destroyed, but now he has come to dwell among us and dwelling with us. So, what happened? What happened? With what? What happened? Well, don't tell me you missed it. Yeah, the glory came. And the angels shouted round about. It was the glory of the Lord. Yes, it was the glory that came. And the angels brought the announcement. But there was the glory in every case when the Lord himself came to dwell with his people. Now, of course, we know that night that lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Yes, the glory was present, and then we hear that fourth, fear not. Now, what he said is peace on earth. He is our peace. We take that word peace, P-E-A-C-E. The P can stand for the person of peace, who is none other than Jesus Christ. And we could go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14 for a verse that he is the person. And then the E is for everyone. You could use a verse such as like Romans 5:1 or John 14:27, where it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then as the A could stand, that we should acquaint ourselves with peace. Acquaint now thyself with peace, as it says in Job chapter 22. And then the C, we should commit ourselves. And if we commit ourselves, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And then the last E can be for the fact that it's everlasting. Well, we find that, my time is gone again. Okay. The shepherds came and they told all these things. And I just want to look at one more verse. And that is in chapter 2. Of Luke, chapter 2 of Luke, and we'll end with this verse. Chapter 2 and verse 18. Well, let's just back up with verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, apparently, as I read that verse, I got thinking that when it says they wondered, no doubt there was more than just Joseph and Mary there when the shepherds came and told the news. And when they did, they wondered as well. Not only just Mary and Joseph, but all those that were there and all they that heard it. So there more than likely was more than Mary and Joseph. The thought that struck me as I read that, what did they do with the saying? Did they accept it or did they reject it? We know what Mary did. She stored it up in her heart. And what a comfort it was to her later on in life. Well, we're going to end there because my time is done. And but again, as we think about the Christmas story, oh, we got to take in the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Okay. Andy, how about you closing in prayer? You can do that part, okay? Good.